You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
This is December the 9th, 2022. Boys, a month going by quickly. And I did not mention at the beginning of today that to remind you that every day when we're on live, we are live streaming at rumble.com. Rumble.com. You simply go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, all one word. It'll take you right to our channel. You'll see previous rumbles, and you'll see where to push the button and join us in studio live if you can. If you can't, pull it up later and take a look at any program you want. All the audio files are available at LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. They come up as a podcast. And of course, you can get them at any podcast store. We're everywhere. But I'd like to have you give us your attention. We don't charge. You can also subscribe. And we'll send them right to you so you don't miss anything. I have an apology I would like to make. I'll make it in this segment, so hang with us for a moment. First of all, let's talk about something that should be no shock of it all, but a key measure of prices of goods and services sold by U.S. businesses, showing inflation accelerating again in November. The producer price index rose to 0.3% in November from October. It was 0.2%, 1.3%. Now, if your Joe Biden-type mind is, well, it's just one-tenth of a point, big deal. Not when you put it in comparison in relationship to our overall economy. It's not like the gas needle is reading empty, but you still got 5 gallons left, maybe. No, that is a big deal, but you're not going to hear the state-controlled media give it much attention, or before they do it, they will certainly spin it around so it sounds better. We've been talking a lot, of course, today about the release of Brittany Griner and not Paul Whelan, or a combination thereof, and two other Americans still being held in addition to Whelan in Russia. And why Griner? It all became clear when you listen to the remarks of some of the political commentators on the left and even the White House itself. In fact, the White House press spokeswoman, I can never even remember the woman's name. I'm surprised she's still there, but that's the way they're going to run the operation. So be it. It's their decision. But basically saying it's a win for all Americans. No, it's not really, because you guys are also quick to point out that we got a black lesbian woman basketball star free. And even CNN political commentator Van Jones said just this morning, President Biden did not allow Russia to treat Brittany Griner like garbage by negotiating her release in a one-for-one prisoner swap. Now, you know, if Victor Bout, the guy we gave them, was also maybe a Russian NBA star of some type, okay. But this guy was really nasty, involved in supplying weapons to kill many Americans. But somehow or another, they got it in their small little brains that this was a good deal. And they're claiming now that, well, we didn't really have a choice. I mean, we were told her, or we were told one or none, and then we were told only her or none. I think they're already spinning that. But let me make my apology here. I mentioned earlier that it looked like when she came off the plane that she had a Coca-Cola shirt on. I only saw the picture from a distance, hadn't had time to really look at it closer. That's my fault. And here is the difference between electronic journalism and apology and a paper apology. In the paper, I could bury this in page 28C. But here I got to look right into that camera if you're watching on Rumble right now or you're listening on the air, and I got to say directly, I made a mistake. Here's the mistake. That red shirt with a white writing did not read Coca-Cola. What it was, Greiner was sharing a message as a way to honor the memory of Nipsey Hussle. That's the hip-hop South Los Angeles communities devastated when he was shot and killed in front of his own store. And a guy being held bound later found guilty of the killing. So she decided to wear that in honor of him. So it wasn't Coca-Cola. I was wrong. I was wrong. I'll probably be wrong again at some point.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Then the sheriff came around in the middle of the night, heard mama crying that something wasn't right. He's headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
More shocking details unveiled from the Twitter files. Independent journalist Barry Weiss revealing how the social media giant secretly blacklisted conservative tweets and users. Weiss highlighting the account of Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, who was placed on a, quote, trends blacklist because he said that COVID lockdowns would harm children. And they did. Fox News personality Dan Bongino slapped with a search blacklist tag, limiting Twitter users' ability to actually find his account. Weiss ending the thread, tweeting, quote, "We're just getting started on our reporting. Documents cannot tell the whole story here."
That is Maria Bartiromo earlier today talking about some of these new pieces of information coming out. A new Twitter Files investigation revealing many of the tools that were being used by Twitter. Now, if it's Twitter, you know the others, Facebook, Google, whatever, are all doing the same. And while they're doing that, don't forget what TikTok, which we still allow to operate in this country, owned by a Chinese company, which means it's collecting various pieces of information on Americans, mostly your kids, but others as well. We're being watched from all sides. And remember the other day, Google conceded, yeah, we lied. We were bluffing. We'll pay $300 million to make it go away. The claim being that they said, when you turn off your tracking device on your phone, we can't find you. We don't know where you are. Liar, liar, pants on fire once again. I'm going to need a box of matches for all the fires these folks start around this place. Because Google admitted, yeah, we do that. We do it anyway. But $300 million, that's nothing. It's nothing to them. So now this new Twitter Files investigation carried out and released by former New York Times reporter Barry Weiss, as you were hearing Maria referred to, showed several mainstream conservative voices, from Charlie Kirk to Dan Bongino, were shadow banned by the social media company under the rubrics of visibility filtering, or what they call VF. And at one point, Twitter did place a Stanford professor, the doctor she was referring to, under the label Trends Blacklist because he was arguing lockdowns would harm children. Weiss wrote, Twitter once had a mission to, quote, give everyone the power to create and share ideas and information instantly without barriers. But along the way, they began to put up barriers anyway. Now, there's another side part of this story. Jack Dorsey, we were told a few days ago, he didn't know a lot of this stuff was going on, he said. And no one was refuting that at the time. But following this latest second installment of the Twitter files, you go back into his testimony while he was CEO at the company, saying that we don't censor conservatives. It does reveal that, yes, they were using those. In fact, a 2018 clip of his testimony, and I didn't have time to pull it today, stated, according to Congressman Mike Doyle, who's a Democrat in Pennsylvania, I want to read a few questions about Twitter's practices. Just tell me if they're true or not. Social media is being rigged to censor conservatives. Is that true of Twitter? This is a Democrat asking this question. Dorsey's response, one word, no. Are you censoring people? The congressman asked. No. Twitter is shadow banning prominent Republicans. Is that true? The Democrat asked. Answer, no. During the same hearing, then Congressman Joe Barton, a Republican of Texas, grilled Dorsey over his past claim that Democrat politicians were also being affected by shadow banning. When asked if he could identify which Democrats were affected, Dorsey refused to say, claiming it was for their privacy. The question then, can you personally vouch that statement is a true statement, that there are Democrat politicians who, when you did the auto search, they didn't show up? Dorsey said, yes. Is it just me, or am I getting two different worlds from Jack Dorsey at that point? I don't think it's just me, and I don't think it's you. Miranda Devine, of course, with the New York Post, who broke the first story about the Hunter Biden laptop, when she was looking at some of these latest stories coming out about shadow banning and what was being done and had been done, she says, this shadow banning, and we're learning about that and everything else because Musk decided he would release a lot of the Twitter files.
I'm just very grateful, I think, to Elon Musk for opening up the files and showing us the inner workings of Twitter's censorship regime. But we need to remember that this is not just happening at Twitter. This is happening at Google. It's happening at Facebook, YouTube, probably across the board. If you remember the FBI, when they were giving these bogus briefings before the 2020 election to the big tech platforms, about, you know, Russian disinformation, a.k.a. the New York Post's impending Hunter Biden, Joe Biden story, they went to about seven different platforms, including Reddit. So this is a censorship, a biased regime that is across the board controlling our thoughts, our ideas, what we see, what information we have access to.
Which then again controls what you may or may not do. For instance, if you hide the Hunter Biden laptop story that Miranda broke in the Post, if they don't allow it to go on their Twitter machine and notify their readers what they've got or any other platform, then you're throttling back information. For what reason? Well, remember the former FBI agent who is now general counsel for Twitter said, yeah, we don't know that it wasn't hacked, so we shouldn't be involved in it. You had no proof it was, and you didn't seem to have any problems whatsoever that maybe the still dossier information you were throwing around, like pennies, was not hacked. You didn't even bother raising the question. Back to Jack Dorsey, 2018, before Congress. Do you discriminate, this is from a Republican asking, do you discriminate more on philosophy like anti-conservative versus pro-liberal? No, our policies and our algorithms don't take into consideration any affiliation, philosophy, or viewpoint. Then he had an exchange with Congressman Steve Scalise, a Republican of Louisiana, and Dorsey insisted the algorithm that led to the shadow banning of multiple Republican lawmakers, quote, was not written with that intention. Good God. We're supposed to sit there and believe that, and you could say it with a straight face? No, and it wasn't just Republicans. Again, Miranda Devine.
It was all conservatives. It was all people who dissented from the Biden administration's the federal government, you know, even during the Trump time, whether it be the CDC, Anthony Fauci, whatever the regime's decisions were, anyone who dissented ended up being banned, blocked, shadow banned, throttled, you name it. And this is so corrosive, particularly Jay Bhattacharya, an eminent physician who just had some very sensible you know, based in science, recommendations for protecting the elderly and the infirm from COVID and allowing younger people who are not at risk to go about their business. And he also warned about the dangers outweighing the benefits of giving COVID vaccines to children. And all of that was suppressed and ignored, and people died because of it.
That's correct. And remember, if you even suggested, you know, children don't need it, well, you are a super spreader yourself. And because if you get the vaccine, you won't have it and you can't transmit it. Well, that turned out to be a lie. Well, if you get the booster that way, no, that also turned out to be a lie. Of course, they were following the science, remember, as in political science, not medical science. And I remind you, when you talk about shadow banning and following everyone and what they say, and if they cross a threshold, they don't even know they crossed. You got them. You can shut them down for whatever reason. I don't know how many times I get warnings and threats, and we were shut off YouTube. That's another one that was doing the same thing and is still, no likely. That's why we need a full investigation. And it's not just for Republicans and conservatives. It's for America. And I remind you again, the shadow banning, I want you to look at it on a very simple level. If I see some young woman or any woman that I really am attracted to and I start following her around from a distance, taking pictures of her, noting down where she is, when she is, I'd mentioned this in the opening monologue, but I think it bears repeating. If I do that on a constant basis and I see where she goes in, when she comes out, and I'm making all these notations, maybe I'm even close enough to hear some things she says, and I have somebody go over and kind of drop my name, see what she, how she responds, and I write that down. Do you know what that is called? And it's a criminal charge, if it can be proven. That's not shadow banning. No. Stalking. That's what this company and the others like it were doing. Then Maria Bartiromo points out something she has repeated over and over and over, but it bears repeating again.
One point that I've been making on this program now is the fact that after the Obama administration stepped down, a number of Obama officials went to work at all of these social media companies. They got big jobs and they got stock in Google and Twitter and Facebook, and they ended up with big jobs at these companies. So these are not journalists running these companies. These are political hacks. These are people with an opinion following the Democrats' ideology. The problem is these are huge companies, and they've had a huge impact on censoring the American people.
And, of course, the door is always open for FBI agents who want to leave and go to work for them. As Miranda Devine points out, and she doesn't use these words, so I will, this whole arrangement is incestuous.
It also goes the other way. If you remember when Joe Biden won the election, he had a whole lot of Google and other executives come and join his administration. There's also cross-pollination between the FBI and these platforms. We know that James Baker, recently fired by Elon Musk for trying to intervene and censor the Twitter file dumps that he'd ordered be done. He was the Twitter lawyer. He was the former top lawyer at the FBI during the Russia collusion hoax. And then others at Twitter who were in control of content moderation also turn out to have worked for the FBI and the CIA. This is a massive surveillance operation and a psyops operation at the big tech platforms. How involved the deep state is, we don't know. But we know that their intent is malevolent and that they are trying to exercise mind control on Americans to make them vote a certain way, to make them believe certain things.
And they did. And they were stalking you. Barry Weiss, in his reports, profiled how Twitter execs were censoring accounts like Libs of TikTok, and then a safety exec who quit after Musk acquired the company because he had defended the platform decision to censor a Christian satire site, The Babylonian Bee, for calling transgender Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine a man, which he is. Coming up, is the Republican Party falling apart? Who's to blame? You want to point at Trump? You want to point at McConnell? Someone else? Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you. This is Larry Connors. You're listening to KYRO, 1280 AM, 105.3 FM. KYRO, Troy, Missouri.
Then the ship came around in the middle of the night. Heard mama crying that something wouldn't right. He's headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The great wrestling champion Ric Flair used to say, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And so far, no one's had the nerve to step forward and challenge Senator McConnell. So I support Senator McConnell.
And that is a statement from Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton. I don't know, maybe he's been listening to Senator Kennedy of Louisiana, who likes to pull out all these little folky-isms and use them. I mean, I never thought I would hear Senator Cotton quote Ric Flair for a political point, but that's okay. I think he made the point. But Cotton saying that he would support Mitch McConnell to stay as the leader of the Senate, be it minority party as it is. Now, I have a problem with that, but I'll also point out to you that he made that statement about 3 weeks before the midterm elections actually came to be. I haven't seen anything. I've been looking to see if he said anything since to change it or back it up, because what happened or failed to happen on the midterm elections has shaken the party to its core. As I said earlier, it's pretty nasty-tasting medicine, isn't it? And you want an example? Let me give you a perfect example here. First of all, you got Congressman Eric Swalwell, Democrat of California, who served on the Intel Committee, even after Pelosi was told, you know, he's been bedding down a Chinese prostitute and telling her who knows what since he's on the Intel Committee. But now he's mocking the fact that Rona McDaniel is still the RNC chair, and she's been there for far too long looking at all the losses we've had. But he tweeted out, I don't know about you, but I think Rona McDaniel is doing an outstanding job running the RNC. Four more years. Well, a lot of Republicans are saying, no, not another day. And there is, of course, a coup underway against Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, which we're going to get into in more detail in the next segment. But then you also have Georgia Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan stating, as I pointed out to you yesterday, that former President Donald Trump has, quote, brainwashed the Republican base to think that conservatism is angryism. Well, I don't. I don't think Republicanism is angryism. I don't know how many out there might agree with that statement. Does that mean that I want Trump to run again for 2024? If you ask me directly, the answer is no, I don't. I do agree that for many that he served a perfect purpose. But then again, who are you going to get in place? I would say DeSantis if you're looking for someone else. But I'm looking at a piece of the Federalist. In fact, I was going to try to have the author on today. We may do it Monday because the schedule's got too tight. He said it needs to be a rule for the Larry Hogan wing of the Republican Party that anytime they drone on about time to move on, they're required to say out exactly what it means to move on. He said because when the Wall Street Journal Mitt Romney repeats that condescending line with absolute disdain, they're not talking about just zeroing out the political viability of a single man who offends their delicate sensibilities. They're talking about a complete memory-holing of the GOP shift from the country club to Costco and the abandonment of all their issues that brought hundreds of thousands of new voters into the fold. And then he added the Wall Street Journal's daily editorial board champions the influx of destitute migrants for the sake of U.S. labor shortage. That has nothing to do with the will or lack of will of workers in this country. They just don't want to work. They'd rather be paid. And if we have a government that just goes send them a check, why not? He said the crowd, including the Adam Kinzingers, the Liz Cheneys, and various other backbenchers of the party, they're not really insisting we move on. They demand we go back. Back to when ruling Republican agenda was corporate tax cuts, a devotion to Israel and everything else, a very distant third. But these Republicans are also satisfied giving Democrats what they want, welfare, social, and corporate, as long as they get to look strong by they're the ones sending the money to military contractors in their districts. Those are all good points. All good points. So coming up, is it possible the Democrats could elect the next House Speaker? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof. Plus, quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Dumb. Do 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 is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Current House, I should say, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is warning, get in line and support his bid for Speaker or expect disaster.
Having a challenge on the floor is never going to be positive, and it, really you turn the floor over to the Democrats when you do it.
This is very fragile that we are the only stopgap for this Biden administration. And right, the Democrats can take the majority. If we play games on the floor, the Democrats can end up picking who the Speaker is. We need to do this for the American people. We either are successful together or we will fail individually, and we will not be given the possibility or the opportunity to be in the majority again.
So at least five House Republicans say, as of now, they won't support McCarthy's leadership bid. So now what? What is next?
What is next? Well, first of all, where do we stand right now? I'm looking at a piece written by CNBC, and of course you were listening then to CNN and Don Lemon Fruitcake, laying out factually, I would say factually, the case McCarthy faces and Republicans face inside the House. Keep in mind, when the new Congress convenes, Republicans have the most members in the House. The party with the most members gets to select the House Speaker. That's why Nancy Pelosi has held the gavel. She won't this time. But Hakeem Jeffries, he's trying to find a way to work with some Republicans who are not happy with McCarthy and see if maybe, even if they don't actually get to vote and elect the Speaker, they're going to have enough sway that by proxy they're getting what they want. And we're already seeing a lot of problems because while McCarthy is yet to publicly win any support from any members of his caucus, you have a small band of House Republicans on the far right lobbying publicly against him behind closed doors. He's facing demands from other conservatives, the House Freedom Caucus, and congressional aides say the uncertainty over his support while the party is holding up key decisions about coveted committee spots. That's what else is happening. But don't you hear also from the question being asked at that time by Don Lemon Fruitcake to Politico and CNN political analyst Jonathan Martin?
This is about raw numbers, okay?
Yeah.
So McCarthy needs 218 votes. If every other lawmaker besides those five on vote on party lines, he's two votes short. So is he really in danger here?
He's in real danger. Now, the good news for McCarthy is that today is December 1st, not January 1st. So he's got a little bit of time to work those members. Look, when you're the leader of a party in Congress, you have a lot of tools at your disposal, right? You can offer carrots and sticks. And for the next month, McCarthy's going to be doing a lot of that, trying to reel in just enough people with sort of various carrots, perhaps a couple sticks.
Two quick questions that are kind of combined.
Yeah.
If not McCarthy, who? Yeah. And how is this different from Paul Ryan and 2015?
Well, the obvious backup would be Steve Scalise, who's the number two from Louisiana, Don's home state, who is somebody who's seen as sort of a mainstream conservative and isn't as despised, I guess, by the far right as McCarthy is in the House. And in terms of the Ryan question, this is part of the challenge the House GOP has. There's no sort of Paul Ryan waiting in the wings here who can step forward and be a sort of broadly popular and sort of a super impressive pick.
Now, again, that was December 1st. Things haven't changed that much from today, December 9. And as you heard, Don Lemon Fruitcake pointed the numbers out exactly. At last report, these numbers still stand. McCarthy needs 218. That's an official number out of 222 Republicans now in the House to become Speaker January 3rd. Otherwise, he's going to have a messy public floor fight, which he really does not want to be engaged in. A secret ballot held last month, Representative Andy Biggs, Republican of Arizona, challenged McCarthy for Speaker and won 31 votes to McCarthy's 188. Now, that's small, but still significant of the division. And Biggs has said that he plans to officially run against McCarthy come in January. Now, he's just one part of the vocal opponents. There are many as 20 members, possibly, that are hard-nosed. By that, I don't mean hard no's like on your face, but they are hard nay, I will not vote for him. And they would vote against, pardon me, McCarthy in public if it came to the House floor. McCarthy's allies say, no, we're more likely to just be 5 to 8 votes difference, and we think we can turn them around. Well, that's a good belief if it would work out. But as you heard Jonathan Martin of Politico and a CNN analyst, it's not looking that way. And Congressman Scalise might be the better alternative. McCarthy himself has said repeatedly, I hope that when everybody comes together, find a way to govern together, that's what American people want. Otherwise, we'll be squandering this majority. I think they're already close to doing that. And part of that comes from the very beginning. Go back to the midterm elections. On that date, there was no red wave. There was no tsunami. It was kind of a splish splash. Got a little red. That's about enough. The only way it got carried really big was in the state of Florida, which there might be the next leader of the Republican Party, Ron DeSantis. He and Trump together, I have pointed out repeatedly, would certainly win. If Trump ran and chose Senator Tim Jones, a black man, well, that might win. Or if he took South Dakota Governor Noem, that might win also. But if he's been looking at McCarthy, I can see right now that's not going to work. First of all, McCarthy can't bring any more votes from California than he's already got. But the House Freedom Caucus had put out word in July with the list of desired changes online, and they basically wanted more plum positions, and they don't think they'll get it from McCarthy. So let's go back to the analysis of Jonathan Martin with Politico and CNN.
There's no sort of Paul Ryan waiting in the wings here who can step forward and be a sort of broadly popular and sort of a super impressive pick. It's no offense against Steve Scalise. He's perfectly capable, but he just doesn't have the sort of background that Paul Ryan had. Ryan had been on a national ticket in 2012, yeah, obviously, before he became Speaker of the House.
Well, I've been struck by the Republicans who have come out in support of Kevin McCarthy at this very difficult time. He's saying, basically, if we don't stay united, Democrats are going to end up picking who's our House Speaker because the margin is so dang slim.
Yeah, look, this doesn't happen in Congress, but it has happened in states over the years where you have a very tight legislature and there's some kind of a bipartisan deal to elect a compromise candidate. I think in a very polarized Washington, that's still pretty darn unlikely that you would see that kind of a pick emerge from the political center, if you will. I think it's more likely, Caitlin, that we'll see a Steve Scalise, a sort of conservative backup plan if McCarthy can't get there.
They better have a backup plan. I mean, if plan A fails, that's why you've got many more letters in the alphabet. B, C, D, E, that F could also come up. One strategist noted that in recent weeks, several influential conservative voices, including Charlie Kirk, you hear on this program, or this station just ahead of me, and Mark Levin, the great one, have all publicly spoken out in favor of McCarthy's bid for Speaker. I have not. I have not liked a lot of what McCarthy has done. He withheld some money from a campaign I think we could have won, and maybe he thought it'd be a waste of money, but I didn't see it spinning where we would have won or did win. Let me put it that way. McCarthy obviously needs to make some amends with at least the moderate division of the GOP. They're trying to stay low-key at this point. The Freedom Caucus firebrands, as sometimes they're called, they are focusing on their policy. Now, the Republican David Joyce of Ohio, who heads a moderate bloc known as the Republican Governance Group, recently pushed back against the ideas that the Freedom Caucus would dictate the agenda in the House. And he said, they make the most noise, but as far as being productive, that's not necessarily true. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors. That's his evaluation. And 20 members of the Republican Governance Group signed an open letter to fellow Republicans urging those in the anti-McCarthy camp to put the posturing aside and unite behind the party leader. Did I read that right? And unite behind the party leader or urinate behind the party leader? There's a difference. Now I'd said unite. But then let me also remind you of this one other little kicker. I'd mentioned it yesterday, and some people were appalled. They have since talked to me and seen me out in public or written me emails that, is that true? I said, do you think I'd say it were if it weren't? Now, granted, I made a mistake earlier today about Brittany Griner's shirt was not a Coca-Cola shirt. I've apologized directly for that. If you missed it, pull up the podcast later. But I pointed out you do not have to be a member of the U.S. House of Congress to be elected Speaker of the House. You don't have to be. You don't have to be a judge to be a Supreme Court justice. Coming up, the threat to our armed forces is woke.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
That song takes me back so fast. I can remember we get off. At that time, I was working in the oil field as basically what they called a roustabout. Not like you see on the Elvis movie, roustabout. No, this is hard, nasty, dirty work. Since I was the youngest, I got the hardest, nastiest, but that's why I signed up. But I'm driving home. I've got my hands all cleaned up finally, but still grease and oil all under my nails, embedded in my skin. But I've got my senior ring on. I'm tapping away on the top of my car, which is not good for the car, to the sounds of that song. Can't get no satisfaction. Well, you didn't want to hear me sing it. But I do want to point this out. And I raised this issue the other day when I was telling you about the Army. According to a second lieutenant, was saying that the Army needs to get rid of hoo-ah, their historic battle cry, because it sounds more easily made by males. It's too chauvinistic. We should come up with a yell that better represents today's soldier. We need a battle cry representing today's soldier. A battle cry, you know, you're just making any kind of noise you can to scare the hell out of the enemy before you can get to them, hopefully. Maybe we'll all see Mary Had a Little Lamb while they're yelling, kill, kill, kill. How about that? And I mentioned then that a tweet had been put out by Stephen Bucci for the Heritage Foundation. 30 years in the Army Special Forces, Green Beret, also a top Pentagon official, and he wrote, dare they come? No, I'd take it back. He didn't write that. That was mine. He said simply, this is lame stuff. No wonder recruitment is down. And recruitment is down about 25%. And I even added then that Bucci was right on target as usual. And dare they come after the Marines? Hoorah! because we're going to yell it anyway, especially this coming weekend, the Army-Navy game. Hoorah! Navy, Marines have your back. But the Navy's got other problems. I'm looking at a piece written by Seth Crosby and points out, Cropsey, I should say, and says, a woke naval academy hurts our military. Andrew, my boots on the ground, Chicago, sent this to me, and I'd done this story the other day. I told you a reference about the Bucci story and the Army and its yells and threats of its culture war there. But I thought, you know, still, let's go back over this one, too. He points out that these culture war intrusions at service academies hurts not just public trust in the military, but also the combat readiness. You can't deny that if you know anything about the military. He said Americans have long been proud of our military, but that might be changing. A recent Reagan Institute poll indicates that only 48% of Americans had a great deal of confidence in the military. 48%. Last year, similar levels, around 45%. 4 years ago, 70% of Americans expressed confidence in the military. The reason for the decline, he points out, military has become too politicized, too woke. Yep. And he also points out that last November, or late November, Senator Rubio and Texas Congressman Chip Roy published a brief of bulletins providing more evidence of this disturbing trend, especially at our educational institutions like Annapolis, West Point, the Air Force Academy. Point is, can they really be cultural battlefields while you're preparing for real battle? And at this point, it does not look right. He said, so far we have not seen large-scale instances of civil violence, but we're so polarized and split right now. What are you going to do if you're in the foxhole with someone who's just too woke? Oh, my God, the shells are bothering me. I got to find a place to hide and just sit with my coloring book, a safe place. Every soldier, man or woman, and there are only two genders. Make no mistake about that. Every soldier wants to be in a safe place, but sometimes the job requires you to risk life and limb for either yourself or your fellow troops. Those are the real heroes in a case like that. Sometimes they come back. Sometimes they get it posthumously placed on a coffin. I was talking to a Navy pilot of mine, friend, that's in town doing some work with Boeing. And I asked him, how is the Chinese military and its fighter jets? He said, the jets are very good. He said, the pilots are getting better, but they're not there yet. And apparently, they've been hiring British expatriates to help them train Chinese to be better fighter pilots. I don't like that idea at all. I don't know why any Brits would do that. But the bottom line is, he said, right now, they haven't really fought in war, so we don't know how they'd stand up. But then he added, and I made sure it was stated, we haven't had to fight those kinds of dog battle, air battles at some time. Fighter jet against fighter jet. How good would we be? If you're going to be woke, you're more concerned about somebody offended me this morning. Remember our pledge, one God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.